and thank you for tuning in to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. What an amazing day today. It is because this is the day that the Lord has made and we are joyful in it. I know that I am, and I just want you to be too, because you know what? God is so good all the time. He's amazing. So today is May the 19th, 2021, and what a show we have for you today. I'm super excited about today's show. I can't even tell you how much. I'm going to save all of this loving and excitement for when our guest comes. We have today Bishop Jacqueline McCullen. Jackie McCullen is joining us today. And you guys, I can't wait till you meet her. If you haven't met her, if you haven't known of her, oh my goodness, the day is the day. This is a true warrior for the kingdom of God. I'm talking about a pioneer, a trailblazer. Oh my gosh, in so many ways. I'm so excited to have her join us today. And then we have Minister Nicole Atkinson bringing in his presence, our favorite segment in Dr. Gina's Radio Chat show. And so I'm excited about that. So just ministry and encouragement and empowerment and just women and God using us. And it's just going to be so good. So for the ladies and gentlemen, today's show is going to be everything. So you want to stay tuned with us today. So yeah, let's get right on into the weather today, shall we? So in Los Angeles today, it is 61 degrees. Today's high is going to be 72. We're cloudy right now, but sunshine is coming our way. Let's see, Washington, D.C., you are 77 degrees right now, and your high is going to be 86 degrees. Beautiful weather. All sunshine today, too. Not a cloud in the sky. Dallas, Texas, you are 72 degrees right now, and your high is going to be 75 degrees today. You got showers coming this afternoon, so I want you to be prepared for that. Also, in Atlanta, you are 72 degrees right now. Your high is 79 degrees today, so enjoy that weather. You got just partly clouds coming today, but for the most part, you're sunshine, so please enjoy the weather today. Miami, you are 81 degrees, mostly cloudy today. You got a lot of wind coming your way. The high is going to be 82 degrees. South Australia, you are 57 degrees right now, and that's your high. You're waking up to 52 degrees. 73 degrees tomorrow is going to be your high. Partly sunny, so you got some sunshine coming. Kenya, 93 degrees is your high right now. 73 degrees is what you're waking up to. 91 is going to be your temperature high tomorrow. Partly sunny, so be ready for that. Hawaii, 50 degrees. You got showers coming. Your high today is going to be 64 degrees today. You're waking up to 52. You got 50% chance of showers tomorrow, so be on the lookout and prepare for that. Let's see. Puerto Rico, 79 degrees. That's your high. Your high today is going to be 81 degrees. You're waking up to 64 degrees. And you got showers coming tomorrow, so be ready for that. Portugal, 57 degrees, and you're mostly cloudy. Some sunshine coming this evening, though, so be ready for that. 43 degrees is going to be your wake up tomorrow, and you're going to be as high as 63 degrees tomorrow with showers. So I just want you to be prepared for all the rain. But guess what? No matter what's going on around you, about you, God is still in control, and He has the final say always, and He loves you so much. That's what God says. I'm telling you, He loves you so much. He loves you so much, He gave up His only begotten Son that we shall have eternal life. Now, that's the kind of God that we serve. So no matter what's going on with you, about you, around you, God is still in control, and I love it. So listen, we'll be right back after this sponsorship break with Ministerial Moment. I love you so much. Until then, we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I'm so excited to share with you my third published book, In the Weight of Every Loss. In the Weight of Every Loss, I share revelation God gave me concerning the scripture, Hebrews 12 and 1, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. In the Weight of Every Loss, I'm being completely transparent about my own struggles I endured in my personal walk. Serving in a leadership role as an ordained apostle, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is not always easy. So if you are called into leadership or are actively in a leadership role right now, In the Weight of Every Loss will expose the real work of the enemy. You will be encouraged to regain your strength again and return back to the will of God. In the Weight of Every Loss is for those in leadership struggling to maintain strength. It is for those who truly want to walk in truth and for those who are no longer willing to live in a lie anymore. Get in the weight of every loss.
Hi, okay, so ministerial moment today. Listen, God woke me up this morning with consistency. There's something about that. You know, I was wondering if God was wanting to tell me about, hold on a second. I was wondering if God wanted me to know about consistency, to be consistent, or if he wanted us to be consistent, or if he wanted us to know that he's always consistent. And so I woke up with that in my spirit. And so consistency is the quality or fact of staying the same at different times, especially the quality or fact of being good each time, the quality or fact of having parts that agree with each other, the quality of being thick, firm, smooth, etc. Consistency, the quality or fact of staying the same at different times. I mean, God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I really believe that he just simply wanted us to know that he's consistent all the time. I mean, he's so faithful. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the same God that parted the Red Sea. He's consistent. Just think about your life, right? Just think about all the times in your life that he has been consistent, no matter what is going on, no matter what nobody said, no matter what challenges you've gone through, he's always made a way. He is consistent that way. He is consistent in his truth. He is consistent with his word not returning to him void. He is consistent. He is consistent about the power of the Holy Ghost. He is consistent with the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave his only begotten son that we would have eternal life, and he is consistent in winning souls. He is consistent in delivering his people. He is consistent. I can go on. He presents us faultless before the presence of his glory. Consistently, come on somebody, he is consistently evolving, consistently moving, consistently protecting. He is consistently, Lord God, encouraging. He is consistently expanding and replenishing. He is consistently God all by himself. And I just appreciate, and I just, oh God, I can feel the Holy Spirit. I am just so grateful that whenever I fall short, my Father is consistent. I am so grateful that no matter what the body of Christ does, he is consistent. He is forever and always consistent. When I look through my life, when I look at what he's done recently, he is consistent. I mean, that word just, it woke me up. I want you to look it up. Consistent. I'm consistent. And I want you to be consistent. God wants us to be consistent. He wants us to press into him, worship him in spirit and in truth consistently. He wants us to be faithful and loving him consistently. He wants us to obey him consistently. You know, we don't have to do works for his love, because he said nothing will separate his love from us. But what he wants from us is to be consistent, not just to be, because he's a consistent God. Come on, Holy Holy Ghost. He is a consistent God. He wants us to be consistent, not just until we get a breakthrough, not just until we get the thing we prayed for, not just when, you know, we just get tired, but he wants us to be consistent, consistent in our prayer, consistent in our worship, consistent, consistent in loving him and obeying him. He wants that consistency for us, from us, because we have been born again. We are joint heirs to the kingdom. And as we continue to press in and consecrate ourselves and come before him, we become more like Christ. And Christ was consistent unto death, and he's still consistent interceding and standing in the gap for us. I'm telling you, we serve a consistent God that has consistent principles. Come on, somebody. We serve a God that we are joint heirs to, a consistent operation in the kingdom. Come on, somebody. We are serving a consistent God. So I just feel like consistency. And Father God, I hope I did it justice, because you woke me up with the word consistency. And I thank you, Holy Ghost, for revealing to us how consistent you all are to us. And may we be consistent even the more to you in every way, seeking you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. All right, that was Ministerial Moments. And I'm just so glad that you guys are here with me today on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. Listen, we're going to take a commercial break, and then we have Bishop Jackie McCullough. Oh my God, I'm so excited. We'll be right back after these messages.
Freedom and deliverance are available to you in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny by Dr. Gina R. Prince. One woman's story is everyone's struggle in Born Into Sin, Transformed Into Destiny. Available now at drginaprince.com.
Have you heard about the Life in the Spirit devotionals? Life in the Spirit is a collection of teaching devotionals that shatters the work of the enemy who attempts to hold you back from reaching your full potential. The first set is called the Solid Rock Series. These four devotionals help you build a strong foundation to stay rooted and grounded in Christ. You'll learn what it means to be a child of God, how to have the faith that moves mountains, how you can experience true freedom in Christ, and how to step into your purpose and destiny. The second set is called the Holy Spirit Series. These four devotionals help you build an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. You'll be guided into encounters with the Holy Spirit, learn to go deeper into His presence, understand and receive the Holy Spirit baptism, and learn to war powerfully in the Spirit. You get all eight devotionals from Life in the Spirit for only $30 plus free shipping. Save 80% now with this special offer. Go to lifeinthespiritbooks.com.
Hi, my name is Gina R. Prince, and I'm super excited about sharing with you my new fitness DVD called Health and Soul. Health and Soul, what does that mean? Well, for me, one day when I was praying and speaking with the Lord, and He ministered to me, He put that in my spirit, health and soul. And He said the meaning of that is that I want people to be healthy, and I want their souls to be healed and whole as well. He said wholeness. And so as the time has gone by, God has really ministered to me about what He wants from the body of Christ as far as us being whole. He wants our mind healed and whole. He wants our body healed and whole. He wants our souls healed and whole. And so this is the beginning of the journey.
Hi, I'm Emmanuel, and you are listening to the best internet talk show in the world, Mom, Dr. Gina R. Prince. And you are listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.
All right. Thank you so much for the commercial break, Producer Doug. Okay, without further ado, I'm so excited. Welcome to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat, Bishop Jackie McCullough. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you.
Well, listen, I know that you don't know, but I got to tell you how much you mean to me in the spirit, first and foremost. I have known you, and you haven't known me, but you, I have known you since I was 11 years old. You were the first female preacher I've ever seen, I ever heard in my life. And I remember seeing you always. It wasn't just on Women's Day. Bishop Ellis at Greater Grace Temple in Detroit, Michigan, used to have you come to our church all the time. And that was huge. And I'm telling you, we were there. Me, my mama, and my grandmother, we was always there front and center. And all the young people from every age, they were just so equally excited about you speaking, because we knew we was going to get some fire. We knew that our lives were going to be changed and Holy Ghost was going to use you. And I'm telling you, you never disappointed. You always came through. The Holy Ghost always used you mightily. And I mean, there's just so much to tell the history behind how I'm so grateful that you are actually on my show today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
So I just want to just, before I get into the most recently, how much you meant to me 18 years ago, through the years being a female preacher, you know, I just know a little bit of history, but I was hoping that maybe today you can encourage some of the females out here today that's got a call, that God has chosen to minister the gospel. Just give some wisdom and some inspiration. But first and foremost, you know, I'm 52. So now I'm 52 years old, and I've heard a lot about just putting us in the evangelism place. You know what I mean? That we are evangelists. But what was it like when God chose you? What was that experience like for you?
Well, it was, I remember when my former pastor, the late Bishop Lenora Smith, who was a woman, laid hands on me and prophesied that I was going to be a preacher. I was about 16 years old. And that was a very significant moment. I didn't get up and preach right after that. And I never saw myself as a preacher. I wanted to go into the medical field. But at that point, I became conscious of the fact that God had his hand on my life. And my mom was there, and she prayed with me, and I knew something significant happened, but I didn't jump up and started preaching. It was not until I was about 19 or 20 that I preached what they call my trial sermon.
Wow.
And even then, it was just one sermon. I didn't really start, moving in the ministry until much later on, you know, in my 20s and then in my 30s. But that was the moment in time. I don't think the preaching moment is as significant to me as the fact that the Lord gave me a love for his word.
Yes.
From the moment I got saved, I really became very active in the Sunday school and in the, you know, the Bible studies and all of that. And that was what attracted me to the church. You know, I was not a singer. I was not in the church. A lot of young people in my day, we had a very strong youth department. But it was a Sunday school. It was the Bible stories. And I think it's because my parents were in ministry. You know, I was born into a preacher's home. And my father was a strong preacher. My mother was a strong preacher. There was no such thing as male and female differences, because my mother was a strong minister in the church with my father. She did a lot of the teaching. So I grew up in that atmosphere, loving the word, loving the stories of the Bible, particularly Old Testament. I was very fascinated with history and all of that. And I think that's what really grabbed my heart. Even if I didn't go out and preach, the word of God was so real to me and so interesting to me. And that's what that kind of, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, that's what pulled me in.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so, you know, even with that, it's so important to have a love for the Word of God, because, I mean, the more we read it, the more it becomes a part of us. It is within us, and we speak it without even consciously doing it. It's just because that's what's in us, you know, the more that we study the Word. And some of us are gifted with, as scholars, I would call it, because, you know, I love the history of it, but I also, my favorite part about reading the Word is just seeing how God feels and thinks about, you know, his creation, and, you know, it teaches us more about him, his heartbeat and things like that. And then some people really love, like, the historical part about the kings and the, you know, and just the history part of it. And it's so much in there for everybody, for every learner, for every person individually. And it just, but I think that we're both in agreement that reading the Word and having a love for the Word is very important before it is being on a platform and preaching. So you were in a process, and you were just patiently just doing what you loved, and just opportunities started coming. Is that how that went, you know, eventually?
No. I was very much involved in my church, and then I went on to college and became a nurse. And so I thought I was on my way to my career. My dream, my childhood dream, was to become a doctor. So I started out being a nurse, and then I started going to take pre-med courses so I could go on to medical school. But in the midst of it all, the Lord spoke to me very clearly that I should give up all of that and give myself a full-time ministry. So even though I had a nursing career and I had plans for the future, the Lord specifically spoke to me and told me, this is not my plan for you. And it was a very difficult decision. It was a very drastic move.
Wow.
But I made that decision, and that's when I eventually left nursing and went into full-time ministry at a church, and then started in. I didn't even start traveling to preach. I just worked in the church doing street ministry, evangelism, you know,
yes.
feeding the people, visiting the sick, doing home visits, just the work of the ministry before I hit the pulpit. So that's how it all started for me.
I'm going to tell you, I love that. I love everything that you're sharing. You know, your history, your story means so much more. I don't know if you realize it, but it's saying so much in volume. It's so important that we hear your process, because it's really important. You have a lot of people out here that really love and have fed from you for years. And it's just, and they're called into ministry right now. So it's so important that that your voice and just us hearing your story and just your testimony about it all is so helpful to us right now, because so many of us get a call, we go start a church. You know, we get a call and we're ready to go preach on somebody's pulpit. And I remember when God, 18 years ago, I've been in ministry now, ordained as an apostle for 18 years, but over 17 years, but 18 years ago, when I finally surrendered all and became in full-time ministry, God had me, I was listening to your tapes. My mother had all of these tapes. And I just would listen to them, and they were imparting to me. I would listen to them at night. I would listen to them in the daytime. And I would, if I woke up in the middle of the night, I would flip the tape over and play it on the other side, and I would keep it playing. And you literally, it was some training that you teaching that you had done on deliverance. But anyway, you were the first person in the spirit that introduced me to deliverance. And it was, and actually God had me do a deliverance, and I didn't even know what I was doing, but the Holy Ghost was leading and he was teaching me the whole time, and the little boy was set free, and it was just such a big story behind that. But you have always been a part of my spiritual journey without even knowing it. So like, even then I was feeding the homeless, you know, just doing that work, cleaning. I was cleaning other people's churches that I didn't even go to their churches. I mean, God was having me like go to clean churches of people, other apostles that I didn't even, you know. And I would volunteer to clean their churches on the weekday. And so feeding the homeless and going out and doing evangelism and things like that. And I think it's so important because that's the ministry that Jesus walked on this earth. And so I love that you said that, because I think a lot of people miss that. You know, the servanthood of it all is not just preaching and teaching, but also hands-on with dealing with God's people and just, you know, being like Jesus, walking amongst them, talking to them, praying with them, all of us, you know. So with that being said, when you started traveling, what was that like? And even in that time, being a female preacher, did you have any challenges with that?
Well, you know, my I was blessed to be raised, as I said, in a home where my mother and father both were in ministry. When we came to the United States, my father became a minister, an elder in the church, and it happened to have a female bishop. And I was raised in Harlem. Well, I went to church in Harlem, and Harlem and Brooklyn had quite a few strong female bishops and pastors.
Wow.
That historically their churches and organizations are still standing. You have Mother Horn, you have Mother White, you have some of the leading women. You have, you know, wow, Ida Robinson and all those people that Bishop Counts, they still have organizations and understanding. So I was raised in the middle of that era, where even though it was strong male presence, those women really made a difference in the church community. So I wasn't raised in an atmosphere or in a denomination or in an organization where women were not allowed to function.
Wow.
When I started traveling, I did face oppositions, but the Lord gave me favor because I did not allow my gender to be the message.
Right.
Because it was not about my gender, it was about my message. So even if they called me a missionary and not an evangelist, it was fine. I'm not there to be titled, I'm there to give the message. If they say that don't come to the pulpit, and there were times in certain churches where they didn't allow women in the pulpit, they had to preach from the floor, it's no big deal. Do I have a message? The main thing is, do you have something to say? You can say it from the housetop, you can say it from the back of the church. God calls you and gives you something to say. He didn't say that he was going to send you everywhere to friendly places. He told his disciples, there's some place you're going to go to, they'll not receive you. Shake the dust off and move on. He gave us some realities that we seem to think we should not have to deal with. You can go to certain countries and they won't accept you. One year we wanted to go to Nigeria, and Nigeria wouldn't allow us as Christians to enter in. If you go to China today, you can't go in there as an evangelist, female or male. So we're living in a real situation. The bottom line is, the Lord gives you a message, and it doesn't always have to be with the crowd. Jesus spoke to the woman, well, Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus, Jesus spoke to Matthew, Jesus spoke to the one-on-one as well as to the masses. So the main thing is, do you have a message?
Yes.
Are you prepared with your message? And if that's so, he will always open the door. We have a fixed way to say, this is what ministry is all about. If I'm invited to this group, and if I'm invited to that platform, and that means that I'm accepted. No, you were accepted before you were born, like Jeremiah to speak for him. And Jeremiah preached, and they hated him. Jeremiah preached, and they put him in a dungeon. Jeremiah preached, and they didn't receive his message. Many of us would stop preaching. So if we get those things out of our minds and stop thinking that we have to have a welcome party to preach, you're deceived.
She said a welcome party. Come on, Bishop. That was good. I love that. You know, nothing but the truth. Straight, that is a straight truth. You know, do we have a message? Do we have a message? And that comes in also with you reading the word, spending time with God. You should have a message within you. And the focus should be on the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, first and foremost. And I love what you said that, you know, you'll have some of these obstacles, but it's about the message. It's like, you know, it doesn't matter if you're on the pulpit, on the floor, even if you're preaching from the seat and where the people sitting, you know, if they give you a mic or you could yell it from your voice top, you know, if you got a message, if it's only at testimonial time, because I remember when I first started, it was only during the testimonial time that I had a message. So, you know, wherever and however God does it, I appreciate all of that. You know, I have to tell you this. To me, you mean this to me, and this is the reality. You are up there to me with Amy McPherson, Catherine Kuhlman, Marilyn Hickey. You are there for me, and you are one of the greats to me. And just the fact that you had the honor and the ability to, you know, glean from so many other female preachers, it's so many of us in those times that did not have that. I didn't even know all of these. I had no idea that it was like that. I had no idea. Like, you were like the one that God has sent for me to look at. I didn't even know. I didn't know about Amy McPherson or Catherine Kuhlman. I didn't know it was other female preachers. You were the one. And so I just want to thank you for persevering, for being consistent, for, you know, just going forth and plowing ahead, because you are the first for a lot of people. Believe it or not. And so just to hear that there were so many more, and the realization of that is just so, it's just beautiful. I almost wept when you said that. It just means a lot, you know, as a female minister, because I've had to face those situations where, you know, women weren't allowed to preach on Sundays, weren't allowed to preach on the pulpit, weren't allowed, you know, to preach. And, you know, they didn't want to call me, you know, what God called me. And I, you know, they want to call me a prophetess, you know, and I'm just like, you know, as long as the message is going forth, I'm not offended. You know, you can't be offended. You just meet them where they are with the message. And so I'm just so grateful for you and for the people that are listening right now, listening to this pioneer. I mean, you're going to be a pioneer to me, because you're the first one in my life that I've ever actually seen and heard preach. Do you remember preaching at Greater Grace Temple back then? And
yeah,
in Detroit?
I remember very well. I remember it was glorious time. You know, it was really a time where traditional church service, you know, where I know that church well. I'm still connected to his
Bishop
son,
Ellis, to the son,
David
uh-huh.
Ellis. Yeah. But I remember Bishop Ellis, and I remember the women were very strong. The Women's Day was really a statement of how much women supported the church and built the church. He had a great group of women, educated women, strong women that he had in the women's department. It was a pleasure to be there. It was.
Well, we loved you every single time. It was like as soon as you were announced, I think people were already, you know, the seats were taken, and it was an overflow every single time. And I mean, we couldn't wait. It was like, oh my gosh, you just brought so much to that ministry, and teaching and training biblically. You know, Bishop Ellis was always amazing. It's such a salvation church. People got saved by the drove. I think Sundays was just like I mean, I can't even count how many people would get saved on Sundays there. But the fact that you would just come and bring that word, and it was just so powerful, and just, I mean, and it was, it's always simple to everybody, like everybody can get it, from the young people to the older people. And it just was like fire. It just, it changed my life, and you literally have. And I just thank God for you and your diligence and just you being who you are and just being that vessel for him. And I'm sorry if I hope I'm not overdoing it, but I just had to take this opportunity to just really thank you personally for what you have done in my life as a female minister of the gospel and just all of that. So what words can you give of encouragement? We done been through the pandemic. We done made it through. And I was watching you do your videos and your live. I've been watching you on Facebook, your YouTube. God reconnected us in the spirit again. And you really have had some powerful messages to help us get through. What are your thoughts about it all at this time?
Well, I think that the thing about it is we don't like to wait. You know, one of the greatest lessons in the Bible, as you read it, all of the prophets, all of the people who did business for God had to wait. We want things to be over with and done with and move on. It's like a child just trying to get through this grade so they could go on to the next grade, and they didn't learn anything. What are we learning, or what did we learn in the pandemic? Are we taking those lessons so that after the pandemic we will do church differently? Because really, the pandemic pointed out that church had gone awry, that we made church to be more of an entertainment theater, or just doing what we want to do. But it forced us to think about, do we love the Lord? Do we worship when there is no building? Do we pray when nobody's there? Do we still support the church? Do we reach out to other people? So it forced us to really look inward and not just have an outward presentation. And we're not sure where the pandemic is, because we seem to think that because we have the vaccination, we can take off our mask. And the instruction is confusing. Take it off, put it on. But because the pandemic still exists, wisdom tells you, wear your mask, wash your hands, and distance yourself. Because we don't know what this means. And the vaccine is only to keep you from having severe reaction to the virus. It doesn't mean that it cures. There's a difference between curing a virus or getting rid of a virus and having to take these extra shots just to control it to a certain extent, with no guarantee that you won't contract the COVID. So we need to wait and see what it is. We need to pray and ask the Lord to eliminate, and then ask the question, what else is coming? Because we're in the end time. We're in the end time, and we can't sleep. We just want to go back to business as usual. But what is business as usual? Yes. Taking your tithe money and buying lottery tickets? What is business as usual? Huh? Not showing up for church, partying all night long, and then singing on the praise team on Sunday morning? What is business as usual? And the COVID comes to tell us. The COVID comes to tell us, if you believe this thing, you have to live this thing. Because one thing is, look at India. They thought they could re-enter in the first of the year. Now India is almost being wiped out. You don't know what's coming. So the pandemic is over, but there's going to be a food shortage. In the pandemic, the food chain was affected. Are you preparing? Are you making plans to provide food for your family if there's a shortage? No. We want to take off the mask and go to the mall and shop. We are not thinking. But God gave us the ability to plan and to think. We want it over, but it's not over. It's not over. People are still dying. I have friends in the hospital right now that are still. My nephew had the vaccine and still got the COVID. We have to pray him through. We cannot sleep on the enemy.
Wow. You said he got the vaccine and still ended up with the COVID.
That's right. But oh, they tell you goodness. That. They didn't lie to you. They didn't say that it would get rid of the COVID. They didn't lie to you. They just said it would keep you from being intubated and on a respirator. It would just lessen the damage to your lungs and whatever. But it didn't say it would eliminate. Listen for the wording. Listen for their words. Did it say it would eliminate the virus?
No, ma'am. It didn't. They did not say that.
Okay.
They did not.
They say
and I also want to warn the people that's listening, too, that keep your mask on, like you're saying, because even with the people that got vaccinated, we don't know who really got vaccinated and who don't. I don't know who got vaccinated and who didn't just because they don't have a mask on.
That's right. You still have to be careful and you still have to be watchful. The Bible said, "For the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." Not that he can devour. He may devour and may suggest that we gave them the opportunity to.
Oh, my
goodness. So you just have to be wise. You just have to be wise.
That's wisdom.
And the main thing is, what did you learn in the COVID? Did you learn about family relationship? Did you learn about the education of your children? Did you get a chance to see how miseducated they have been and how much you could re-educate them, especially about the Lord? Did you learn about relationships? That it's not always physical, that people need to feel connected in many other ways, that people need to feel connected in terms of emotional support and care and commitment. Did we learn about church, how much gathering together is so important and that we should not take church for granted? All of these things we need to sit down and evaluate before we just jump out and think that we're going to go back to normal. What is normal?
What is normal? What is it, Bishop? What is normal?
What is normal for the Christian is obedience to God. That's all.
That's it. Wow. Oh, my goodness. You have said a word to us today. I have us live on Instagram, too. And I mean, they're just commenting and it's blowing up and they're loving what you're saying. And I know in the radio internet land, they're enjoying it as well. She brings the fire. This Bishop Jackie McCullough always have and always will. I'm just so grateful that you were able to share that, because I think people need to hear that wisdom come from your sound, your voice, and I think it resonates with a lot of people that heard it, and I think that we should follow suit, because like you said, listen to the words, listen to what they're saying. It's not about what you want to hear, it's what you need to hear so we can go forth successfully and actually knowing what to pray for, and like you said, ask God, what is normal for us? Where are we in our walk? I mean, this should have shaken us up in some way. What should we prepare for? I mean, I think about the Israelites. He's always prepared them for the way. I mean, there's always been a prepared way. He prepared the way when they escaped out of from Pharaoh. He prepared the way when Abraham went to Canaan. They prepared the way. He prepares the way for us. But we have to be diligent in seeking him. Go ahead, ma'am. I'm sorry.
I think, Dr. Gina, I think the main thing for us is that the Bible says when you see these things happening, we need to encourage and strengthen each other. The church needs to become a community, of believers, where that's how it started. And they went from house to house, breaking bread and having fellowship and talking about the teachings of Jesus and building each other in the faith. That's what we need. When we regather together, we need to be more community-minded inside and out. How can we strengthen each other? How can we cause each other to grow? How can we prepare our children for real life decisions? the things that I dealt with as a child is not what these young people are dealing with. How do they make God choices? So community, more teaching, mission-minded, reaching out to the community, preparing for disaster. Look what's happening in Mississippi with the water situation. Look what happened in Texas. In a couple of days, Texas had no water or electricity. What will happen in your church community if the water is cut off? Look what happened with the gas. Look what happened with the gas. North Carolina and the South shut down. People were online. We have to start thinking differently. Lord, how can I prepare my home and my church so that we can navigate through difficult times?
Yes. Yes, indeed. And, you know, I think about that when the day of Pentecost came, that was one of the examples that is written that when the Holy Ghost fell upon them, they were prophesying and speaking in tongues, but they also met each other's needs. That there was something that was needed. Everybody had what they needed. Nobody was without. And we have gotten away from that, from those times, but we're still in the last days. We're still in that movement. We haven't gotten, you know, into Revelation as of yet, and so we need to be operating in that, and I believe that God is looking for that. I'm believing that he's looking for people that's community and oneness, looking after each other and helping one another, not just turning our backs and looking for what we can get. What about me, I you know, what about me, myself, and I? And if I turn my back, I don't know nothing about it. But if, you know, and I don't want to know nothing about it because I ain't gonna do nothing about it. I mean, God is getting rid of that type of ministry, okay? Because that wasn't kingdom ministry, that was man ministry. So yeah, I agree with that, and I think a lot of people have understanding about that, and they're so glad to hear that come from you. What else encouraging would you give to the people? Now that we talked about the pandemic and everything, what other words of encouragement would you give to those that believe that they're called? Because it's a whole lot of, because we just gave you the show. I'm sorry. We're going to have to get to the other parts next week because this is too good to pass up. I don't have you every day, and I'm so glad to have you right now. So we're just going to take advantage of this time if you don't mind. I just wanted to know from you what a lot of people, so many apostles, so many pastors, so many bishops, so many of these titles. Can you just speak a little bit on that before your segment ends? Can you just speak on that from
when? Well, I think the most important thing is to look at how Jesus looks at titles. Or, you know, well, they had a different system in the first century. These titles evolved as the church moved from the first century to the second century, whatever. But look at how Jesus looks at all of that. He said, anyone that will be the greatest among you, let him be the servant. So in God's eyes, servanthood is the greatest title. You can't tell the average person that. You can't tell them that. You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to be called bishop, I should be called servant bishop, because that's what I do. This is not a title. This is work.
Yes.
Okay? And bishop that we call today in the Bible, a bishop was just a pastor's pastor. In other words, you're pastoring, but you also have other pastors that you're helping. So it's not all that we make it. It's work. It's actually investing time in people. It's actually putting your time and your energy and your resources in building people for the furtherance of the gospel. So you're serving. You're serving. President Biden is the chief servant of America. He's the chief servant of America. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve, and he's God. So if we're hung up on a title, and if we're titling ourselves, if we're just putting a title on ourselves and can't even read a scripture, we have missed what God is saying. It's serving. The greatest opportunity is to serve. You see, when you get to heaven,
when a Christian gets to heaven, he's not going to ask you about a title. He's going to ask you about your opportunities that you had to serve in the kingdom. He's going to judge you based on your work, not on your title. See, we have that all mixed up. We have it all mixed up. It's not the title. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you available? Are you serving even if nobody recognizes you? Are you serving if you never get to a certain platform? There is a joy in serving the Lord, because he said to Peter, he didn't say to Peter, do you love the sheep or the sheep loves you? He said, do you love me? Do you love me? If you love me, then you'll feed my sheep. And look where Peter ended up, Dr. Gina. He was crucified upside down for his love for God.
Yes!
Now you take, when somebody get ready to get a title, ask yourself, are you ready to go there for that title? Because that's why they got the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power to be what? Witnesses. And the word witness in the original means, are you willing to give up your life for believing in me?
So
somebody gets ready to get a title, ask yourself, you ready to go there? Because trust me, that's where the church is going. In Nigeria, young girls are being beaten and raped because they won't denounce Jesus. In India, in the Middle East, in the Muslim countries, acid is being thrown in their faces. They're put in prison because they won't denounce Jesus. Are we willing to go there? Or are we willing to just be called a certain title?
Let me tell you, especially in Pakistan, I have two churches there, and they literally are being ostracized in their villages, like kicked out. They're being bullied at their jobs. They're being beaten, kicked, spat on. It's really real for the gospel. And even in Lebanon, believers are being harassed and beat up and come up missing, for the gospel. So, oh my goodness, this has been so amazing. I'm literally leaping out of my chair. Like, I'm trying to keep it together, because it's like, I want to say, preach, Bishop. I want to keep saying it, but I want everybody to hear you. This has been an amazing interview. I mean, I just couldn't let you go. I hope you don't mind. This was such a blessing for us all. Bishop Jackie McCullough, you are just, I have no words. I'm just so thankful to have had this opportunity. My grandmother would be so full of joy right now. My mom is just, would be so full of joy right now. This is just such a full circle for me. And I mean, it's just such a blessing for so many people. So I just thank you for taking the time. I'm humble that God would allow you to spend this time on my show that he birthed.
Can I pray before I go?
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity. We thank you, God, that you came to this earth and you gave your life so freely for us. You endured insults, rejection.
Yes, God.
You endured that horrific death on Calvary. You shed your blood. You said, no man taketh my life, but I do it willingly for people that didn't want you and still don't want you. And because you love us so. You said, it's not that we first loved you, but that you first loved us. So with that in mind, we have a sense of humility. We have a sense of gratitude to know that you chose us to be a part of this glorious kingdom. So help us to walk softly. Help us to do it with the spirit of excellence. Help us, God, to not only say it, but to live it. Help us to yield to the work of grace in our lives, that we will take on more of you and less of us. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank Hallelujah. You, Amen. Go ahead.
That we will one day hear those glorious words, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Bless her, God. Anoint her afresh. Bring more clarity to her assignment. Meet those quiet needs that no one knows about. Do not let anything that she does bring shame on ministry. Guard her from anything that will be distracting, and help her to stay focused and give her the joy of the Lord, which is her strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. I receive it all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you tell everybody where they can follow you? Do you know your social media information?
Yes, they can go to Beth Rafa, B as in boy, E, T as in Tom, B-E-T-H-R-A-P-H-A, B as in boy, ETHRAPHA.org. And they can get all the information they need.
Oh man, thank you so much, Bishop Jackie. I appreciate you so much. I know I've said it 1,000 times, but thank you so much for coming on Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. I just have one favor to ask of you before you go. Producer Doug, you can we please capture this moment by you doing a radio drop for me? My producer will walk you through it. It's only a few words. Now you're listening to Dr. Gina's Radio Chat. It would mean everything to me if you could do a radio drop for me. Can you do that, please?
Yes, I will. Uh-huh.
Yay! Thank you so much. And I'm praying that God, I get the opportunity to meet you face to face. I don't know when I'm going to be in New York, or I'm going to be watching for your schedule now that things are starting to open. I don't know how soon you're going to go back out or whatever, but I'm going to be, you know, continuously following you, and I'm going to make sure I'm wherever you are so I could just meet you face to face. That would mean so much to me.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, you guys, this has been Bishop Jackie McCullough. We just took the hour, and it was so worth it. Just hold on, Bishop. Producer Doug is going to be with you. Go ahead and take her, Producer Doug, go ahead and take her for me. All right, you guys, we don't have any more time. We're already 3 minutes at the end of the top of the hour. That was amazing. And I got teary-eyed. I got emotional. I got giddy. I was like a schoolgirl. It was everything to me. I'm just so blessed. God blessed us with her words of wisdom today. So I'm so thankful for everyone that's been tuning in the radio, and everybody that tuned in and Instagram. And I want you to go ahead and follow me, you guys, on Instagram and Radio Land. Keep following me on Instagram at Gina R. Prince. Go ahead and follow me. And I just look forward to connecting to you so I can see, you know, you can see me live while we're doing the show. And worldwide, over a million listeners worldwide. Praise God. Okay. So anyway, I just wanted to say, you guys, this was everything. We're going to get Nicole Atkinson's segment next week. You know, because I know that it's the bomb, but I just couldn't break it up. The flow was going and it just had to go. But catch us next week with Minister Nicole Atkinson with In His Presence. I know she got a powerful word. We're going to play it next week. And also, just thank you guys for tuning in. I love you so much. Live healthy, live whole, live in your destiny. Until next time, I'm loving you. Until next time, bye-bye. Dr. Gina's Radio Chat.